First John 1, verses 5 through 10. And this is a message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Before Teresa and I returned from Illinois, my father had to be taken to the hospital. Doctors were able to quickly resolve the issue, but as we were there in the emergency room and as we went through the process, that incident made me realize some things. For the first time in my life, it dawned on me that there are a number of parallels between a secular hospital and the faith called Christianity. I jotted down a number of those, and this morning I want to outline with you a number of those similarities. The first point is that God has a hospital. It is not a hospital for broken arms and bad knees and diseased organs. God's hospital is a treatment center for just one type of problem, and that is sin. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 15, verse 29, the Bible says that God is far removed from the wicked. That is, sin separates people from God. We're going to see that in tonight's lesson from a statement in the book of Isaiah. Now, when a child is first born, the Bible affirms that they are not affected by sin. We know that because in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the Bible says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Sin is something that we have to commit. It's not something that we inherit. We cannot get infected with sin. We cannot experience this disease until we're really old enough to know right from wrong. We must be accountable for our actions. God's hospital is for those who are accountable for their actions. Now, sometimes if you go to a hospital, maybe a fairly large hospital, you'll find that it has a special section for children. There is typically an area for newborns. There may also be a special floor, maybe a special ward for children in their later years. God has done a similar thing in the spiritual realm. He has a special place for infants and for small children. They are part, the Bible teaches, of God's kingdom. That's a way of saying that they are in fellowship with God. Only those, however, who are old enough to know right from wrong, those who are old enough to be accountable for their actions, can be part of God's hospital, that is, the church. When children reach the point in time where they are old enough to know right from wrong, they are accountable for their actions, then they need to seek out God's hospital. While I was in the hospital and watching people come through the doors, I was reminded of the fact that people come in with varying degrees of problems. There may be a case where an individual walks into the ER or is wheeled into the ER. That's probably a more likely scenario. And the individual is barely alive due to a wreck. There are also cases where a person may come into an ER because he or she has a runny nose. I actually saw someone come into the ER, and that was basically the problem that they had. It was a runny nose, and I'm seeking treatment from a doctor. Well, God's hospital is similar because it treats people who are affected to varying degrees by sin. For instance, in Colossians 3, verse 7, the Bible says there are those who live in sin. And that's a way of saying that there are people who saturate themselves with sin. They find sin to be attractive and pleasurable. They live for it and in it. It seems to be the case that there are individuals in life who they just can't be happy until they find more and more sin. On the other end of the stick, we find individuals who are still guilty of sin, but these people do not actually seek vice. One biblical illustration of that would be the Apostle Paul. Before becoming a Christian, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul sought to live a blameless life. He was not an individual that wanted to live in sin. He wanted to be as good as he could possibly be. Even trying to live as good as he could, however, he still found that he needed God's hospital. It's not so much how much sin we have, but it is the fact that we have sin that makes us need God's hospital. While at the hospital, I was reminded of its 24/7 availability. If you were out and about any on Christmas Day or maybe New Year's Day, you found that there probably were not too many things open. But I know of no hospital that was shut down on either of those holidays. Hospitals, at least as a general rule, are always open. They never shut down for a little while. They never say, well, we're going to take a day off. And in a similar way, God's hospital, the church, is always open to receive people. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, we find a situation where there was a man who needed spiritual medical attention. It was a jailer. He was in sin. He was taught the gospel. The Bible says he realized his need to obey, and he sought treatment. The Bible affirms that he was healed. And the Bible says it was about midnight, very late. Earlier in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, Luke says that people were taught about the ninth hour. Acts chapter 2, verse 15, that's a way of saying 9 a.m. So in Acts chapter 16, we have people being taught, you know, at a very late hour. Acts chapter 2, we have people being taught at a reasonable time, about mid-morning. Whether it is late at night or whether it is during the day, Heaven's hospital is open. In the physical realm, a hospital may not always have the best doctor available. That's usually who we want, but maybe that physician cannot see us. Some of the best doctors may not be at that hospital. They're at one across town. Or it may be that we go to the emergency room and seek treatment, and the best doctor has the night or the day off. In Heaven's hospital, the Bible portrays Jesus as the great physician. He is the healer. The Bible assures us that Jesus Christ is always on duty. He does not take a vacation. He does not have a day off. He does not sleep. He does not rest. Rather, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is always present and ready to give spiritual aid. Not only does God's hospital always have the best healer on duty, we affirm that all are healed. While waiting for my father to receive medical attention, I listened to a woman's story. She was in the next little section. There were two people to a room. She told the nurse that she had fallen down some stairs and she thought her elbow was broken. Nurse came in and talked with her for a while and said, well, we will need to do some x-rays of your arm, and I want you to know that we may not be able to give you all the information that you need. Our x-ray technology is very, very good, but we may need to send you to a doctor across town because the doctor over there is a specialist, and we can do some general things here, but you may need some more advanced attention than we can provide. Hospitals sometimes cannot cure people. They must look at an individual and say, well, we've done what we could, or there's some basic things that we can do, but you need to seek treatment somewhere else. We are sorry. You know, the Bible affirms that God's hospital never turns anyone away because they are too sick. God has never been presented with a case involving sin that he could not heal. How do I know? Well, I know that because the Apostle Paul said God has already been presented with the toughest case. God has already been exposed to the worst sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said he was the chief. He was the leading sinner. And then he expressed appreciation or thanksgiving to God because he had been cleansed of every single sin. God has already performed surgery on the worst offender. And the Apostle Paul said that he was completely successful. Hospitals are often rated for their success rate. When it comes to God, the Bible affirms that his success rate is 100%. Related to this point is the fact that hospitals may heal someone, but only heal them temporarily. A medical condition may exist and a person goes for treatment and the physicians do what they can and the treatment lasts for a while, but the condition one day returns. In God's hospital, the Bible affirms that the treatments of God as far as sin, the cure for it, they're perfect in every way and they last. When God cleanses from sin, there is no transgression left behind. A little bit ago, Jeff read from 1 John chapter 1. If you follow the reading in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that was the verse that he ended with. And again, this is describing Christians, but the principle also applies to non-Christians. To cleanse us, did you hear it? From all unrighteousness. God cleanses every single sin. Hospitals after surgery leave scars. At least that's usually the case. God is in the business of scar-free surgery. He wipes it all away. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, it's the idea of a full and of a complete cleansing. Peter worded it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that after baptism we have a clean conscience. It's like taking a board that is filled with chalk marks, or maybe we have a dry erase marker and it's completely removed. And then Paul worded it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, if we become a Christian, we are a new creature in Christ. God has performed that spiritual surgery, and we are a brand new person. If a person is checked into a hospital, they are usually identified. The most common practice, and I think most of us have seen this and maybe experienced it, is the attachment of a bracelet after it's been created. Generally, it is a plastic bracelet, and it is put on a person's wrist. A similar thing is true when we look at God's hospital. If we become a patient of God, that is, we see that we have sin, we recognize that problem, and we want to be freed from that sin, and we are identified. We become identified as a Christian. We are a disciple, a brother and sister of Jesus. We are someone who is in Christ. We are a person who is in the house of God. It's sad to me that some seem to be ashamed of these descriptions. There are those who seem to prefer having a name that follows in some respects some human individual, some man. They sometimes choose a prominent religious figure from the past. But no man has saved us. There have been certainly some good men. There have been some very religious men within the past couple of hundred years. But not one of those fellows has been involved with our salvation. Others allow themselves to be described by some religious practice. But the Bible affirms that we've been saved by Christ. He is the cleansing power, and we honor him by using his name. If we're going to be people of the Bible, we want and we need to use biblical descriptions. Imagine, if you will, someone tomorrow being hospitalized in Goshen Hospital. And the person says, well, I want to wear a bracelet that says Elkhart General. What would they say at the admitting desk? Well, that makes no sense whatsoever. If you are hospitalized at Goshen, we want to identify you as a patient at Goshen. It would not make any sense to switch things around. Bracelets identify who we are just as biblical descriptions state who we are. Christian means that we are a follower of Christ. Disciple is a word or a description that means that we follow Jesus. Believer means that we believe in Jesus. Saint means that we are trying to live a godly life. Church of Christ means that we want to be part of the one church built by Christ. While Dad was in the hospital, I spent some time roaming the halls. And I did that because Dad was trying to talk, doesn't get to see me too often, and the doctors needed him to be quiet, and I thought, well, I just need to find somewhere else to go so he can rest and let the physicians attend to him. So I thought, well, I'm going to kind of look around for a little bit, and I did. As I walked some halls, I found some areas where there were some things locked up in some cabinets. I don't know what those things were, but I strongly suspect that they were controlled substances, things like narcotics. In God's hospital, there are also some controlled substances. God has what are called spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. These blessings are controlled. The Bible teaches that they're regulated. They are under tight guard. They are guarded by Christ. Ephesians 1, 3 says that these blessings are in Christ. If we are not in Christ, where those blessings are, then we simply have no access to them. They are off limits. Now, in the hospital, one could probably break into that cabinet and access whatever they have in there, the narcotics or whatever, the needles, whatever they are. But the Bible says that we cannot break into Christ. To get into Christ where those spiritual blessings are, we must be baptized. In Galatians 3, verse 27, the Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we access those spiritual blessings. One spiritual blessing, of course, consists of the power, the cleansing benefits of Jesus' blood. If we do not become a child of God, if we're not immersed into Christ, then we do not have access to that cleansing blood or any other spiritual benefit. Through Jesus, though, we can access every single spiritual benefit that is controlled and regulated by God. It is therefore absolutely necessary for us to become a Christian and then for us to continue to be an active part of God's hospital or the church. As I wondered a bit more, I found the x-ray room. And then also, as I was thinking about Christianity in the hospital, it also reminded me of something. With x-ray equipment, of course, doctors can look at various parts of the body and see what's inside. God's hospital is also associated with the idea of x-rays. God knows every single thing about us. Scripture affirms that he is omniscient. If you've got the sheet, you'll see that there's only one passage that I'm going to read this morning. It's found in the book of 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. And I'm only going to read the first part of the verse. For the eyes of Jehovah, the Bible says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God's eyes, it said, patrol the earth looking for righteous people. We therefore cannot hide good or bad from God because he knows exactly who we are and what we are. Even God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is like an x-ray machine. The Bible says it is able to separate all of the various things that are going on in our lives, our thoughts, and intents, all those things. If you've ever had x-rays from a hospital or maybe a regular doctor's office, you know that they're not free. X-rays cost. Hospitals charge people for the services. Nothing is free, and when the bills are sent out from medical providers, they need to be paid. God's hospital also has a bill. It's a bill that needs to be paid, and it is a very big bill. The bill is so large that we cannot pay it. If we gave every single cent that we would make throughout our lifetime, we could not pay the total bill. If we took all of the wealth that's available in the world, we still could not pay the bill. It could only be paid by one source, that was Christ, and he has paid the bill. He paid it in full. That's one of the reasons why we love Christ, we submit to Christ, and we obey him in every respect. Sometimes a hospital will try to treat someone, and for whatever reason, either they do not have the facilities, or maybe the skills are not quite all that they need, or maybe they need to send a person to a hospital that specializes in a particular treatment, so they will send the individual to another hospital, a second hospital, or maybe a third hospital, while the person is still sick. Even though that individual is transferred to another facility, they're still billed by the first hospital. And it is certainly a frustrating experience to be shifted from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital, or clinic to clinic, specialist to specialist, and then, of course, to be billed by every one of those people who could not actually solve the problem. Well, when you look at Christianity, you find that with God, there are no referrals. God doesn't say, well, your sin is just too bad, so we're going to have to do something else with you. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is not going to send us anywhere else. God's hospital is the only one that we need. One of the interesting things about Jesus is the availability of beds. As my father was in the process of checking in, the waiting room tech said, we are very, very busy today. Sir, you will need to wait for a while. Well, in the New Testament, we are told that God has plenty of bedroom in his hospital. Not only does God have plenty of beds, the Bible also affirms that God does surgery every single time. A lot of people go through the doors of a hospital and they never have surgery. While waiting, I had a conversation with a nurse, and I said, just out of curiosity, I said, tell me, out of every 100 people that you see, how many are really, really ill? She said, well, I don't know. She thought about that question for a little while, and she came back maybe 10 minutes later, and she said, I think I can answer your question. But I need to break it down a little bit. Instead of out of every 100 people, she said, let me reduce the number to 5. She said, for every 5 people that come through our facility, 4 of them are not terribly sick. It was like the lady with the runny nose. Well, when people use the ER for non-emergency issues, it fills up fast. Doctors may really struggle to keep up. But you know, Heaven's Hospital is not in that kind of situation. It is never too full to help. Not only are beds always available, but God does surgery every single time. If you've never looked at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 carefully, you should. It's a passage that talks about baptism. It parallels baptism to circumcision, or we might say surgery. Paul's making the point there that in baptism, there is essentially spiritual surgery taking place. What's God cutting off? He is removing sin from his people. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 36, that be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's the same point in Colossians chapter 2. It's like sin is being cut off when we're being baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Surgery, of course, can be a very messy experience. There's blood. I would suspect that there's probably, at least on some occasions, a very foul smell. But as we noted from 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's statement about his life, God has already performed the foulest, the worst kind of surgery. That was done on the Apostle Paul, and it tells us that God does not mind getting his hands dirty. With human hospitals, as you see the people, the patients who go there, there's often fear, dread, worry, anxiety, and other things. But when you look at God's hospital, you find that there's rejoicing. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Again, the context there is someone coming back. But certainly it would also be the case, we would expect that a person who comes to the hospital for the first time to become a Christian, there's also great rejoicing there. With human hospitals, a doctor may come out and say, I have some bad news. Person may not have lived through surgery. A doctor may have gone through some tests and finally said, there is nothing that we can do. But you know, in Heaven's hospital, the church, Jesus says the news is good. I am life. Death loses its sting, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. If things go well in a hospital, eventually the person is discharged and they can go back to their life. When a person leaves, an individual may tell the people that they care about the great things that the hospital did for them. Well, a similar thing is true in the spiritual realm. Jesus once said to a man, go, tell the great things God has done for you. If we've been treated by heaven's hospital, we've undergone that spiritual surgery, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. We've been introduced to Christ through baptism and have all spiritual blessings, Galatians 3 and Ephesians 1, verse 3. The bill's been paid. Then we need to take that news, that experience, and spread it. Part of our discharge instructions include preaching the gospel to every single creature. God still has plenty of beds. He still has plenty of room. And there are still plenty of people that need to go to heaven's hospital. Have we been to heaven's hospital? If God has performed spiritual surgery in us, are we encouraging others to seek spiritual treatment? We hope so. God has a hospital. It's the church. If you're in it, and for some reason you've kind of gone by the wayside, we're in a new year. And we hope that you've made 2008 the time where you want to come back and live a life that's right with God. But if you've never become a Christian, there's never going to be a better time to become a Christian in 2008 and continue to live faithfully until your last day. Are you in the hospital of God? Have your sins been cleansed, every single transgression wiped away by the power of Christ's blood? If not, and this morning we can help you write your relationship with God in the way the Bible describes, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.